KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Turn on the TV, act like you don't see me. Tell me everything is okay. My mother is a saint and told me if I wait, everything meant to be will stay. Well, I ain't a believer in people pleasing. The fucking telephones are ruining this place. Met a man in New York City, told me humans ain't as pretty as a perfect day will chase for all their days. I ain't spotless, neither is you. But once in my life, I'm gonna see it through. If you want spotless, I'll always lose. I don't want love, never, I want the truth. People die a thousand times to get to who they are. You were praying to the heavens on a late train car. Your heart knows deeper seasons than my eyes ever will. I'm a self-destructive landslide if you wanna be the hit. I ain't spotless, neither is you. For once in my life, I'm gonna see it through. If you wanna leave this, that's okay. Everything meant to be is bound to stay. Remember jumping in the pool when we was fully clothed in August. We was soaking, choking, smoking in my old shitty apartment. Then they cut off all the lights cause the bills were never paid. We were stealing all the power from the neighbors on vacation. I ain't spotless, neither is you. For once in my life I'm gonna see it through. If you want spotless or always lose, you gave me love, lover, you gave me the truth. I was alone. You were betting on a loser. You were calling my bluff. Only one another is it never enough. You were right there with me. I can't stop this, neither can you. But once in my life, I'm bound to see it through. If you want spotless, I'll always lose. You gave me love, lover, you gave me.
A few topics we're going to cover. We have some staff introductions, the 2025 salmon outlook, the 2023 Board of Fishery changes, 2025 management strategy, Chum and Chinook harvest genetic study, and other topics that might come up. We actually have the same staff this year. So myself, Matt Keyes, I'm the area management biologist, and sitting next to me is Jeff Spallinger, the Sandpoint Assistant Area Management Biologist. And online there you have Andy Brewster, who's our Cold Bay Assistant Area Management Biologist, and Mark Patterson joined us for one more season. So the crew again this year, so hopefully things will run pretty smoothly. For the 2025 salmon outlook, I'm just going to go through some of the chicknik stuff right now. I know that's something that's always part of our management here. The Board of Fish sockeye salmon early run optimal escapement goal is 300,000 to 400,000. And the late run optimal escapement goal is 240,000 to 360,000. And our forecast for this year is lower than it was last year. A total estimate of 1.3 million sockeye salmon. with a total escapement of 650,000 sockeye and a harvest of 757,000 sockeye. And for the pink salmon outlook for the South Peninsula, we have a sustainable escapement goal of 1.75 to 4 million pink salmon. With a total, and our forecast this year, our total pink salmon run of 14.6 million pink salmon, and with an escapement of 4 million and a harvest of 10.6 million pink salmon. So should be, hopefully we have the numbers show up. Our odd year cycles have been pretty good recently, so we should have some time to harvest fish in August. Nothing new here. Everyone's probably aware of all of this stuff that's happened in 2023 for the South Unimak and Shimmigan Islands June fishery. There's no change to the set gillnet or drift gillnet year schedule and fishing periods during the June fishery. There were some changes to the purse seine gear. There was a reduction for two periods. June 10th is reduced to 68 hours, followed by a 76-hour closure. And then the next opening begins on June 16th for 66 hours. There was also the chum salmon triggers that were introduced during that fourth cycle. So by June 18th, the 300,000 fish are harvested, then that does the trigger, and then 450,000 is the trigger for June 23rd. And I'll go into further detail what that means a little bit farther into the slides. Additionally, Sanak Island section is closed for all gear type during June, and then we retained RC-104 for the Chinook, Sockeye, and Shimmigan Islands, and I'll go further into that in a bit here with the management strategy. There are some miscellaneous changes during the Board of Fisheries cycle. 25 fathoms of seine webbing may be used on the shoreward end of a set gill net. Warzinski Bay openings can be based on Warzinski Lake sockeye escapement. And escapement goal changes. Warzinski changed to 14,000 to 28,000 sockeye. Mortensen Lagoon was 1,400 to 5,700. And then Thin Point is now 9,000 to 19,000. For the 2025 management strategy, the South Unimak and Shimmigan Islands Salmon June management plan, like I mentioned earlier, there was changes to the purse seine schedule. So if we catch 300,000 chum salmon by June 16th, that's a 50% reduction for purse seine during the last two periods of June. And if we catch 450,000 chum by June 23rd, that closes the final opening for purse seine gear. And like I mentioned earlier, Sanak Island section is closed to all gear during June.
So if Chinook is weak and the Shimmigans gets cut in half by 50% because of Chinook regulations, and we hit the 300,000 trigger, would you further reduce the Shimmigans?
That's not my intention, to do two 50% reductions. So South Unimak, Shimmigan Islands, June Management Plan, the same fleet will conduct test fisheries to determine chum abundance. The fleet will also assist with chum harvest monitoring and potential fleet mandated closures, which is nothing new to anyone from the past several years. This is kind of a snapshot, I guess. I'll have the calendars. They're also in the management plans. This is what the openings look like for this year in June. So,
and you think that all Robert.
So the, like I mentioned before, the Chinook sockeye early run and RC-104. That's so if the Chinook sockeye run is not projected to meet the early run, that means that there will be a 50% reduction for purse seine gear in the Shimmigan and during June 16th. June 20th and June 25 periods. If the early run is not being met by July 1st, there could also be a 50% reduction for the first opening in July for Percy and Shimigans. This kind of outlines what we were talking about with the 50% reduction. This is what that calendar will look like. And like I said earlier, I don't intend on reducing those reductions by another 50% if we're harvesting chum sand.
What kind of number do you need at Chignik for us to be safe? July 16 or June 16?
Needs to be meeting the lower end of the escapement goal. So, I mean, it's a moving target. Yeah.
But do you know what that number is?
Not right off the top of my head, but I mean, as long as they're staying, I mean, that's a moving target. And like, I mean, like I said earlier, let's see, go back. Sorry. Yeah, the early run, the lower end is at 300,000.
I mean, I was just like wondering what the date would be for June 16th. But
and it's also the caveat in the language is also that it's projected. So if we're not quite at the lower end, but they have assessed that there's fish stacked up behind the weir, just haven't passed yet, and then thinking that they're going to hit the lower end, we could go.
Do you know if any? I haven't weir on the internet yet. Have any fish passed yet?
236. Well, they've only been counting for 2 days now.
Yeah. So.
Back on track. Yeah, no worries. So this is what the schedule will look like if we're implementing the 50% reductions, either because of Chum or in the Shumigan Islands because of Chignik early run. So for post-June management plan, we're going to conduct the immature test fishery as we always do on July 2nd, 3rd, and 5th. There are no changes to the July schedule. However, we are going to be monitoring Chinook salmon in the Shumigan Islands. And if more than 1,000 Chinook salmon are harvested within the Shumigan Islands section during a regulatory fishing period in July, then the next fishing period in stat area only stat area 28211 will not open to commercial salmon fishing for purse seine deer only. I think we've discussed this quite a bit, and does that make sense to folks? So we would have one fishing period, we catch 1,000, the next fishing period closes to seine deer in 28211, and then it would open up again to seine deer in Shumigans the following fishing period. So essentially what that does is it creates a 7-day closure between periods if we had to implement that. And we've taken this approach because it's a similar approach to what's being done in Chignik and Cody. So trying to make it equal in some way, in some fashion. And the reason why we're looking at 28211 is majority of the king salmon, especially the small king salmon, are harvested in that one stat area. I think it's 65% for South Penn is harvested in that stat area, and it's over 80% just for the Shumigans. Yes, sir.
Question.
Yes.
Whether it is non-retention or
I was just going to get to that. Also, during July, we're going to implement full retention of all salmon species. I know earlier we put out a news release saying we were going to have non-retention of 28 inches or greater for Chinook salmon. After further discussion, it was determined that because of these caps, it probably makes more sense to have retention. So all salmon should be kept during this July period. That'll help with enforcement if necessary and just keep any confusion away from this whole part with the jump cats. Or sorry, the king cat.
Sure. Yeah. In other parts of the world, you get to bring back fish. Maybe some parts of the world you can't even keep them. In area, you have to keep everything, even if it screws up the system. Is it just you guys looking for ways to cite us?
It's because of accounting for the fish for these cat purposes and wanting to be able to make sure that the fish that are caught are delivered and are accounted for. Was there another question?
Sure.
Hey, Matt. Hey. Yeah, thanks. Sorry. So I'm just, I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around this. So is this, I guess my first question, is this going to apply in other regions as well, like Chignik or Kodiak?
I believe so. I don't know. Jeff Wadley or Forrest, would you want to chime in on this?
I can talk a little bit about Chignik. I know, and this is Jeff Wadley, by the way. So they are going non-retention outside of the Chignik Bay District. Or sorry, retention outside of the Chignik Bay District. We're still going to allow non-retention inside the district because there is a local stock of kings that have a chance to survive if they're released, especially in the lagoon. So they do have similar retention provisions in Chignik. Kodiak doesn't have a cap, so they can continue to do non-retention.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Sorry, can I just follow up? So I'm just trying to make sure I understand sort of the logic behind it. So because this, I mean, is this intended to be like a more permanent reg for July going forward? Because I guess I'm just trying to understand if you're monitoring Chinook, but it's kind of standard statewide practice to release 28 and overs. Wouldn't it make more sense to only count the fish that are typically going to be retained under a normal year? Or I guess I'm just trying to understand the logic behind which fish are important to count if it's, you know, if it's kind of standard practice to release 28 and over fish around the state.
Yeah, I'll let Forrest chime in too on that. Typically, the especially in Chignik, the number of fish under 28 inches is the majority of the fish, and usually is the one that reaches the cap. But I can't speak to whether this is a permanent or an effort to make a permanent change. I mean, it is a board generated regulation, so. Obviously, it can change, and the department, you know, I can't speak for the whole department, and yeah, I'm just going to leave it there for now. Hopefully, Forrest can have something to say about it.
Yeah, sure. What was your question, Charlotte?
Hey, Forrest. Yeah, so I guess I was just trying to understand the logic, or I guess it's two-part. Like, what is the end game of doing this? Is this going to be a more permanent reg in July going forward? And if not, kind of what is the logic of counting only, or, you know, counting all kings, retaining all kings, if it's kind of more standard practice and, you know, probably going forward, you know, allowing retention, non-retention of over 28s? Like, what's the value of counting fish that you typically wouldn't retain, you know, as a metric? I guess I just don't understand why that would people would be allowed to non-retain over 28 inch kings.
Yeah, so, you know, the commissioner has authority to require mandatory retention using emergency order authority. So that's in chapter 39. And so that's the authority being used. The department didn't submit a proposal to make this a permanent area specific provision, but as I think all of you are aware, Chinook stocks across Alaska continue to be at low abundance, and in some cases continue to decrease in abundance. And so we're kind of in an unprecedented situation right now. We've employed the strategy of allowing live release of Chinook over 28 from purseine fisheries in some areas. And, you know, I think many of us question how effective that strategy has been because we continue to see declines. We also know that there can be occurrences of relatively high Chinook catches in some of these purseine fisheries, notably at Chignik last year. It happens in the South Peninsula from time to time. And so these caps are structured to mitigate the impact of those periodic large catches of Chinook. Regarding our approach to the Kodiak management area specifically, that there are a couple of local Chinook stocks there where we have good escapement data. So I anticipate significant area closures to conserve Chinook salmon in the Kodiak management area, specifically Karluk and Iakulik stocks. Jeff kind of laid out the approach at Chignik, where in the Chignik Bay District, so the inside waters where it's likely that Chinook bound for the Chignik River may be caught, we are going to allow release there because we think that could be effective, in especially as those fish, have been kind of moving in and out of the intertidal area and have been exposed to fresh water. They start to harden up and are likely to survive release better than a fish that's out, off a cape that is bright and the scales aren't set. So, so that's kind of the strategy. I don't know if I covered all your questions, but I think I explained the thinking and the intent.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks, Forrest.
I have a question. So king salmon, the reason in areas where they release king salmon is hopefully they go back to the streams of origin and reproduce, right?
Yes.
So by making it full retention in Area M, you'll be able to sit at the board meetings and say, well, we know 100% that if a king salmon goes to Area M, it's not going to survive because we're making sure they kill them off.
Setting it up for failure.
Yeah.
So how many more years do you think we're going to be allowed to fish out here before this screwball out to chuck us all down? Can you answer that for us?
Oh, I'm not sure. Did you hear the question, Forrest?
No, I didn't.
Forrest, can you hear me? This is Alvin Osterback.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. So, throughout the state, there's all these plans in place. And one of the reasons we always thought that you would release salmon back into the wild was so they could get back to their natal stream and reproduce. Well, now by having full retention out here, you're going to guarantee that salmon and Area M to get caught, they're never going to reproduce. So the board and everybody will be able to say, well, if they go through Area M, it's 100% failure on fish that go king salmon that go through there. So my question is, if you're going to keep going down this route, targeting Area M, how many more years you guys figure before you shut this area down?
Well, it's not our intention to shut the area down. And, these caps are intended to incentivize Chinook avoidance, right? So they're, you know, similar to the chum triggers that you operate under in June. You know, those chum triggers, I think, have been effective in incentivizing chum avoidance. So that's part of the intent here, is that we're hoping people can avoid Chinook if there is a penalty associated with catching them.
Well, I think if you're going to make that believable, then you should do it in all areas of the state, not just Area M.
Well, we're doing it in the area. You know, we have other tools in other areas where we have escapement monitoring of local stocks, like closures. For example, in the Copper River District, they normally start fishing around May 15th. Well, they've had 24 hours of fishing, two periods since May 15th, and that's for Chinook conservation. In the Kodiak management area, as I mentioned earlier, where we have local stocks and escapement data on those, I am anticipating significant closures in the areas where Karluk and Iaquilic Chinook are caught.
Those areas right
in Cook Inlet, we've closed the entire east side set net fishery for the last several years. They haven't even fished. So we have other tools where there are local stocks and we have escapement data. This is a tool that we are going to employ in areas where there aren't local stocks.
We're already closed more than we're open.
I guess my question is, Kodiak will see area closures to protect Karluk and Iaquilic stocks. We'll see full retention and a cap. And Chignik, inside Chignik Bay District, which catches the majority of the fish harvested in Chignik every single year and has a poor return, they can release fish and keep fishing.
Within the lagoon.
Why are there not area closures? I mean, they have...
There are area closures. We are instituting area closures as well.
Everybody tells us to bear the burden of conservation, and we want to release large kings so they have a chance, and we can't. I mean, area, and I don't disagree or argue the caps or the plan. I mean, it was put in place across the whole peninsula, not just us. I don't feel like we were targeted, but not being able to release Chinook over 28 inches just seems, they do have a chance. That's all. I mean, let's give them a chance. That's all I think. Like, keeping up, what's going to close Area M for Chinook is going to be the 10-inch little feeders that we don't even really see. We're going to be surprised, probably be closed after the first opening. It's not going to be the 28-inch fish that are going to close Area M or save us from the cap. But let's, that few fish, let's give them a chance. That's all I think everybody's asking.
How much of them little feeder kings are hatchery fish?
Not done in full count, but I mean, it can be a high proportion.
Isn't it like 80% or something?
I think we'll get to that assessment a little better here over the next couple of years.
You only have to clip 20% of them, right? Designate. Hatchery.
I think so, something like that. But yeah, so clipping doesn't necessarily mean that they're not tagged or anything like that either. So, but anyways, I guess we'll move on here a little bit. So there's no changes.
So this is first cluster in Kodiak. Can I say something, Matt?
Yeah, I was gonna, that's one of the genetic stuff's coming up at the end, Birch, if you want to hold on to that. Or you want to say something now?
Okay, well, I just wanted to expand a little bit about on you know what Forrest is explaining, that there's caveats and considerations in all these different areas. And the the big difference we have, as everybody knows, is that we're also conducting a new Chinook genetics project. It's not perfect, but trying to be concise and gathering empirical evidence from the fishery as a whole is also an important consideration. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that, that can be gathering that information from the Chinook as a whole is also important as part of this project.
We're filling all the over 28s to get a sample. That's me. Okay.
So there are no changes to emergency order management in August and September, and it's all based on local sockeye, coho, pink, and chum runs. And here is the snapshot of the July fishing schedule. Pretty much standard for that. And like we mentioned earlier, we'll continue on, I think one more year of chum genetics, and then from the in-season harvest, and then also doing Chinook salmon. And we'll have samplers located in Sand Point and False Pass for collecting those samples for genetic analysis. Just real quick on Dutch Harbor herring. I know this is a salmon meeting, but some of the people that participate in those things are in the herring. Also, just a reminder that vessels, processors, and tenders must register for the Dutch Harbor food and bait herring fishery. And daily harvest reports need to be provided if participating in the herring fishery. Birch, did you want to expand any more on the genetic stuff, or are there any questions regarding that? Yeah, moving through that one. See any questions? I don't know. Are there any additional questions people have? I know we covered quite a bit of this throughout the presentation.
How was this meeting announced? I never heard about it until yesterday.
Sent it out through the news release system, the fishery update number 2.
Do you have any numbers out yet of that chum genetic studies of the years that you've already sampled?
There is, correct me if I'm wrong, Birch, currently there's 2022, 2023 on our website. I think it's under the harvest, tag tab and on our website. So those are on the website, and I'm not sure around in 2024. Do you have any insight, Birch?
Yeah, the 2024 data is not out yet, but Matt, you're right. The up to the 23 data is available on the website, and I could post the link on the chat if people are interested in that.
Do you have any idea what the mortality rate is for released fish, non-retained?
I don't have anything off the top of my head to answer that question. If anybody else, I don't know, Birch or would have for Forrest, you have a idea of what mortality rate is for released Chinook?
Birch, do you want to talk about your Kodiak project?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't, you know, there hasn't been a lot of studies in the area on the survival of
the released kings released chinook over 28 inches. We are on the verge of conducting a study down at Aikulik to as part of a test fishery to capture sockeye and also tag and release kings in the vicinity of Aikulik to try to get an idea about the survival of kings, you know, maybe not feeders, but kings that are close to like Karlik and Aikulik and figure out if we can monitor and observe those kings going through the weir to get some idea of survival or survival indices. So that's something we might be able to find out starting in June. We're going to be fishing down there with Aikulik closed for all of June probably. So hopefully we'll get some data pretty soon.
I have a comment and it's probably a question. Comment I have is I'm trying to figure this Chinook thing out, at least like everybody else in the shroom, probably with the exception of the department. But then how can we, it's pretty much the same with Alvin and Kelly said, but I'm trying to figure out how, if the Chinook salmon is in danger, or not in danger, but in trouble, how are we helping by keeping full retention? I mean, if we have 1,000, for example, we have 1,000 fish kept. If we released just a number of 300 of them throughout the period, isn't that more savings than full retention that's going to come to the dock and to die? And that's common. I have to say that. The question I have is, the commissioner is issuing emergency orders for this issue and then changing it, you know, whenever. By tomorrow, maybe different again. Why can't the commissioner, pertaining to the June fishery, why can't they issue emergency orders giving us a weather day in our June fishery? We're not asking for more time, but if the weather was bad, we missed a day. We're already missing days. Why couldn't he say, well, we all agree not to fish that day because of the weather and give it a makeup day? Probably know your answer, but I have to ask that question. You know, why are we forced to fish on the day that's blowing 40 Easter here or something? I don't know if it can be done by emergency order, but I know they're issuing an emergency order. But
I just want to add that fishing on a day when it's blowing 40 easterly, you're going to catch a hell of a lot more chums than you are in a day when it's northwest 15.
We're trying to help ourselves, but we can't get help.
I think superseding the board schedules, I think that gets tricky for even the commissioner to be able to override those scheduled fishing periods. If they were, emergency order-based fishing periods, we could work around the weather windows a little better. But because they're set in schedule, we don't have the authority to override those schedules.
But could you have the commissioner involved?
What's that?
Could you have the commissioner?
I don't know. I can ask the commissioner. I can probably ask Forrest, but
you're pretty sure I know the answer. I just throw it out there.
If you have an 88-hour schedule opening and it's in the books, it gets shortened to 44. What difference does it make if you fish in the front half or the back half of the 88 hours?
We've wrestled with that a little bit, and I think following in with the board's intent as to, especially with having that closed period.
Well, you're not making sense. You just said it's set in schedule. The 88 hours is set in schedule.
But the 24 hours is the 50% reduction is something that the board.
What difference does it make if it's on the back or the front?
Because if it's on the back, then you don't have what the intent is to have a longer closure window. The intent is to have the window to be of the closure. If you put it on the back end, your closure period is still the same. It's not longer. The intent is to create a longer closure period.
So you're trying to tell us that you guys know what day to fish it on?
Yeah. You'll have a longer closure than Wealth Island, but don't.
for make up for it. Just asking.
You had to reduce them all in the first one. Say the first one, the weather closure. You want to fish the back end. The guys want to fish the back end instead. That would automatically move all of them to the back end. That would be the downside, so that you could maintain the window length, because that's the only way you would maintain the window length is by moving the following period, right? Yeah. I mean, you could do that. It's complicated, but I guess that would be the only way.
Yeah. Say that again. I mean, just
so like if the first period that he closes on the 16th, if he cuts it in half, in order to maintain the closure lengths and these bigger windows, which is what it's trying to do, you would have to move the following periods to the back as well. So it'd be like whenever he has to do it,
it would be a domino effect.
Yeah. So it might help you out for one opening, but it might screw you on the next. But I guess it's a, you know, it's a gamble.
Right?
You know, windows don't work. We've been through this on the chum issue for the last 30 some years. We tried windows. We tried everything. Fish got tails. You can't tell them what day they come through the area, and it don't work.
That's why the adaptive management has been effective. And I'm not, I know you guys are just the messengers. You're not, you know, you're not setting the rules. It's just frustrating because, as you know, we've talked about this for a long time.
Yeah.
It's hard when you, when you're so, you've already lost 50% and then you lose an additional 25% to weather. I mean,
now, who's it adaptive for? Not us.
I mean, I think we can honestly say there's no salmon cleat in the state that does more to try to get fish through its area rather than catch them. Okay, when like common sense tells us what to do, that and we can't do it, it's frustrating. Okay. All right. Any additional questions? Anybody online? Jimmy Works had a question. He texted me. He couldn't unmute himself. Can you unmute him?
And he can.
And he has
What's his number?
He should be able to unmute himself. He said he couldn't, so.
I wonder what his number is, do you know?
I'm looking it up. Hey, it's right next to Weiss. 26769 Well, I guess we'll conclude the meeting if there's no additional question. Dwayne?
What about August? No.
Not August.
What about these games?
Right now, we're just sticking to July. We'll keep an eye on it. The difference with August is we have EO authority for opening and closing fishing periods, so
could that answer that tells me that by the time August comes along, we might possibly be facing the same thing. Is that right?
From looking at the harvest over the last several years, August usually is not a big issue with catching king salmon. Most of them have cleared out through here. We'll keep an eye on it, but we're not going to. The thing about July is we have set periods, and so that's the issue at hand here, is we have set periods, so using this cap to close periods when there's a lot of high abundance of king salmon in the area. August is a little different because I'm setting the fishing schedule, so I could extend a closure if I needed to, but August usually isn't as big of an issue as July is for catching king salmon.
One thing you guys as department might want to talk about is if you ever get off this thing of full retention, that if you put the king salmon back in the water, some of them might make it home. I know June is voter retention, but maybe you should start looking at if you can release them, if you ever get to that point, maybe you should be releasing them in June also instead of having full retention. You know, yeah. I mean, there's, if you're looking at, this is like the old long time ago days when they used to have all these stream guards in the streams. We used to argue back then with the department, why don't you put the stream guard out in the open so everybody knows he's there? But they go, no, then how are we going to catch anybody? So a guy comes in, makes a set, brails them all aboard, they go out and arrest them. Guess what? Those fish never got spun, you know, but it doesn't seem like the mentality of the department changed any. You know, you got to put the fish back in the water and make them go home if you want to get more out of them. You can't kill them all.
Well, I think there's a proposal in to...
Yeah, the Sailors Association has a proposal in to release kings over 28 inches in June.
Well, I mean, it should, the department should be able to figure that out if they're trying to save king salmon.
Right, but the way the management plan is written right now.
Oh, I know it
is. They are extremely, I mean, he, yes, he's mandating, the department's mandating retention in the July fishery, which doesn't have a full retention rule.
Right.
Wouldn't you be able to, I mean, on the other side of the coin, you should be able to relax the retention rule for June, but it's that, I don't even want to go down that road with June. We've got enough problems, but yeah, I mean.
Right. I mean, it's common sense.
Yeah, to say that was a good way to explain it too with the stream card. I have a question about August management.
Yep.
We have a big forecast, big run returning. I mean, usually runs this size, we'll start to see them in July.
Yep.
I mean, maybe not escapement depending on water levels, but, you know, I think it's important for the fleet and the processors, especially this year, like with market situation for pinks especially, is getting good quality fish. And like, I mean, we've kind of been in a rut for 10 years of waiting for at least the midpoint or nearly the midpoint before we really start, you know,
fishing. 23, we went for midpoint. And it was based on knowing that harvest was showing high abundance, escapement was showing up, and then there was fish in places where we were assured, or at least I was comfortable knowing that we were going to hit the lower end and probably the midpoint and possibly even greater than that. So we did open things up before we actually got to that point, 23. And so if all those things line up again, I mean, I intend to continue with that approach.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, in our even years, abundance isn't quite as certain, especially like last year. I mean, we barely got the midpoint and there wasn't much fish left there to harvest. So, I mean, it's, I hate to say it, it's kind of a case-by-case scenario from each season to season how we kind of look at it. And I think by mid-July, I think we'll have a pretty good indication as to what our abundance is going to look like. It starts showing up pretty noticeably in the harvest.
Yeah. I don't want to be on the spot. It's good for everybody to hear the answer.
I mean, I wish I had a crystal fish ball to know when things are going to be able to take place, but I just have to have all the information in order to make that decision.
Yeah.
You have a total escapement from last year from Pinkston, and there were a lot of fish in the area after you had left. What was your total number?
It was like 2.48.
Yeah, but that's from
that survey was end of August, towards the end of August.
Are you going to have a pilot in August?
Are we going to have a pilot in August?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all
survival. I heard rumors that you might be leaving before August.
Oh, I left last year. I'm not really here.
All right. Yeah. I just heard rumors that you might be taking a different job or something like that.
Well, I'll put it this way. I was not going to be here this year, and then I was like, I Couldn't leave you guys in alert, so here I am.
All right. So, no, I mean, we've seen years with fog. You know, got came in fog for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Things can't fly. We're sitting on the beach, and the fish are out there knee-deep. So, just curious.
All right, any additional questions?
Hold on.
All right, I guess we'll wrap this up. And thanks everyone for joining. And yeah, if you have any additional questions, feel free to give us an email or a call.
All right.
Stop by.
Is there any changes to the cost recovery fish freezer?
Yes.
I'm one of those that barely saw an announcement, but I don't hear what it said.
I haven't sent out the bids for the cost recovery yet.
More now, isn't there?
Okay, I think we're done with the meeting, it appears. And we'll continue on. We have 10 minutes left to the top of the hour. And have a little bit of Brad Wolf with Tan Lines. And then downtime after that with Vaughn. And Bill Gentry will follow that up with I Want What You Want.
I was rubbing lotion on your sunburn, drinking my first legal beer. You were 19, I just turned 21. We were having so much fun. Was tan lines every day we laid out. that's all fine, but there's gotta be more than just working that line. But ain't nothing wrong when it's all done for a good old boy to have a little fun. The newspaper comes in, it's the same old thing. Nothing but bad news is all it brings. These hard times are getting me down. Can't recall the last time I left this town. But ain't nothing wrong when it's all done.
You want